Melnick in the Afternoon. Listen live weekdays from 3 to 7 on TSN 690.
Here we go. It's game night. Canadians and Ottawa Senators tonight after the Habs came back after all and took care of the Columbus Blue Jackets. Hour number three, Melnick in the Afternoon, TSN 690. Mitch Melnick, Rod Francis, Mitch Gallo.
Nice pass by Thomas Plekanec. I mean, those three have been great tonight. There's no question.
To the left point now, Markov, Ford power play. Pacioretty turns and scores! 9 seconds left in the Ford power play. Habs win the draw. Subban left point with a drive. He scores! Now the Canadians with possession. Gonchar, Plekanec, far circle. Pacioretty scores!
The number one star of tonight's game, Montreal Canadiens, number 67, Max Pacioretty.
Pierre McGuire on TSN 690 is brought to you in part by Dagwood Sandwiches and Salads. Bite into Dagwood's fully loaded, fabulous new oven-grilled beef and pepperoni sandwiches. Dagwood's delicious.
From Washington last night to Rex Ryan's new home today. How are you, Pierre?
I'm on my way to old Buffalo, New York. I'm doing great, Mitch. What a night for Max Pacioretty, the native of New Canaan, Connecticut.
Neighbor of Pierre McGuire.
Well done, Maxie.
No, that was one of my favorite games. If I go back and look at it, it's going to be one of my favorite games that I played this year. We were
there. You go. One of his favorite games. I mean, they had the puck all night. I know you were busy, but that line looked tremendous.
You're bang on, it, Mitch. You know what? Everybody's worried about the power play. Power play worked pretty good last night, at 3-for-4. And one of the things is about movement. And did you see the spacing? Did you see where Max shot the puck from? Did you see where PK was shooting the puck from? Did you see the bodies? It's what we had talked about. Simplify, don't overpass, get pucks to the net. And that's what they were able to do. Power play's not as convoluted as everybody makes it out to be.
Just can't help but wonder, the manner in which that power play finally clicked. It won them the game in rapid succession with less than 9 minutes to play in the game, and they scored the 3 goals in 5 minutes all on the power play. How much more relaxed they are now, or does it take one bad power play to get them back to slide back to where they were?
No, I think they'll be okay. I think they'll be relaxed. They obviously know it's a rivalry game tonight in Ottawa. I wouldn't be that concerned about a loss of confidence with the Montreal Canadiens team, just again, because knowing the key players there, I don't think any of those guys will ever lack for confidence. I really do. I just firmly believe that.
I got to hand it to Rod Francis, like Dan Robertson in the booth last night. Rod, we were all out together, the three of us watching the game, and I looked at Rod at 10 minutes to go, and he said the Canadiens are going to win this game.
And they've got a track record of being able to come back and taking control of the third period so often, Pierre. No team has scored more third period goals than the Canadiens have. And if I feel that way watching at an establishment on television, the players on the bench have got to feel the same kind of confidence knowing that they've done it so often this year.
Absolutely agree. And that's why I just said what I said about, you know, if they have one bad power play, I don't think there'll be a lack of confidence with this group. I think these guys have grown up together. And they've seen what they can do when they're on their A game. The addition of Sergei Gonchar, I think, helps a lot. Obviously, everybody knows what Thomas Plekanec has done throughout his entire career. He's been one of the most steady players in the league over the last 5 or 6 years. So, I mean, there's a lot of key components there, and you can always trust Carey. I mean, that's just the nature of the beast. So you've got a lot of good things going on there that will buoy your confidence.
Pierre, you mentioned Gonchar's name, and I've touched on this a couple of times, and I was among those. You know, unless you see a guy play every night and every shift, you don't appreciate as much as you should what he brings to the ice, and you don't. But sometimes you see a guy every night and you see all his flaws that you don't necessarily see unless you see him play all night. I didn't think a guy who's going to be 41 years old in April would be able to play close to 20 minutes a night. It doesn't appear like he breaks a sweat the way that he plays.
Well, he's like Larry Murphy. He's in the rocking chair. You know, I remember coaching Larry in Pittsburgh, and the one thing Larry could do, even though he wasn't an overly quick skater, he very seldom got hit. He knew how to make...
No, we're losing you.
I hope you're not. Are you losing me now?
No, that's good. Keep going.
Okay. But Larry was so good, and Gonchar is the same. You recognize your outlets very quickly, and that's a key part of being an efficient defenseman for a long period of time. Doug Harvey used to control the tempo of the game. I've seen the tapes of it and talked to the guy about a moment where he would control the tempo of the game because he was always aware of the outlets that he had to pass to.
And that power play didn't get going until Michel Therrien put Markov and Gonchar together.
Yes, sir.
And took Subban away and had Subban on his own, basically.
And there's something to that as well. PK, I think, when he's just out there by himself a little bit, he's going to shoot the puck, as you saw. If he's out there with other guys that he thinks he has to defer to, sometimes he'll overpass and try to be over-creative. And that's why I've told you many times, he should be running a 1-3-1, and PK should be planted right in the high spot. So there's no passing option at all.
We're losing you again, Pierre. You're breaking up. Where is he in Buffalo? Oh, he's on his way to Buffalo. He's not in Buffalo yet. In Buffalo,
highway.
It'd be fine. Yeah. He's on the highway in Buffalo?
He's maybe in the Finger Lakes district.
The what?
The Finger Lakes area. As you're driving near Watertown, New York, approaching Rochester and Syracuse, called the Finger Lakes area.
How often? Could you drive that route blindfolded?
Probably. Yeah. I've only done it 14 or 15 times. But from the when you're in the air, when you're flying over the Finger Lakes, you can see them clearly.
Let's try again. Pierre?
I'm here, Mitch. Can you hear me?
Yeah, okay. You're loud and clear again. Yeah.
Okay, I apologize. I'm just driving down the New York State Thruway.
Yeah, I know.
But that was a good description by Rob, by the way, talking about the Finger Lakes region. We're about 2 hours east of the Finger Lakes. But, yeah, good description, Rob. I think the biggest thing, though, is plant PK in the 1-3-1, put him in the high spot, and just watch it all except the shoot. That's basically what you have to do with him because that's where he's so valuable on the power plays is shot.
Pierre, as you know, after Columbus had their run where they were like 9-1, and knowing what they did a year ago, I was convinced that this team could get it back together and get into the playoffs. They've now lost three in a row. That Columbus team that I saw last night, that's not good. What I saw last night, their goalie bailed them out. Their goalie prolonged the game.
We agree, but again, part of that is injury. Part of that is lack of confidence. They don't really have a measuring stick. I think part of it is, our team Anisimov, when they had the 1-2-3 punch of Anisimov, Dubinsky, and Johansson, it was really good. And then all of a sudden they lose Dubinsky, they lose Anisimov, and now they're trying to get their footing. And it's tough. It's really tough for them to do. I think obviously this is going to be a lost year for them. They will not make the playoffs. And that's unfortunate, but I think they'll learn a lot from this, and I would expect next year they're going to be a much more complete team.
So you look at the teams in the East that have got that right now, as we speak, are in the playoffs. I can't see anything changing. I know fans in Florida are saying, hold on a second.
Yeah, I'll back them up. I wouldn't be so quick to dump on Florida. One thing I will tell you, based on having done Washington at the Winter Classic, and having done Washington last night against Philadelphia, I don't think Washington's going anywhere. I would be very, very leery of having to play Washington in a playoff series. They are really becoming a team. Barry Trotz has done a fantastic job there. Braden Holtby is a completely different goalie. He's reminding me a lot of Carey Price in terms of how he's playing, and that's just blows me away when you consider how Braden Holtby played last year. So there's a lot that's really changed there. And Orpik and Niskanen going in there really changed the batting order on defense, you know, for John Carlson and Carl Walser. Mike Green's playing in the third pair.
Yeah, Mike Green, I was going to say. Go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah, Mike Green's playing in the third pair. I mean, he's playing as a five or a six, depending on what they're looking for, because he plays with Jack Hillen, and Jack Hillen's playing in more of a shutdown role. So I would say more times than not, Mike Green's playing as a six.
Stopped by the paddle that is held by Zepp. Tipped right back along again, and right in front, score! A wild sort of deflection. It's 1-0, Chimera.
That's where Pierre was last night. It was the only goal. And another guy who's impressing me, Pierre. Geez, it looked like his career was hanging in the balance when he went home to Winnipeg. He had all those shoulder issues. Eric Fair.
Well, Eric Fair, because of the role that's been created for him by Barry Trotz. I talked to him before the game. You got to remember about Eric Fair. His last 2 years in Brandon in the Western Hockey League, he had 50 goals and 59 goals.
scored 109 goals in 2 years of major junior hockey in the Western Hockey League. That's unbelievable when you think about it. And so he came in as a first-round pick that was being counted on to score. Barry Trotz says, not so fast. We're going to create a checking role for you. And I talked to Fair about it, and he's completely accepted it. So last night he plays on a line with Joel Ward and Brooks Like, and they play head-to-head against Jake Voracek, Claude Giroux, and Braden Schenn. And they devoured that line for good portions of the night. They really did. And Eric Fair was really comfortable in a shutdown role.
Back to the point. Franzen gets it to Phaneuf. Tipped by Clarkson and a save by Anderson. He makes another save. Perry's got it. And he'll hit the empty net. Center cut. Patrick.
Now there is talk in Toronto, Pierre, suddenly, of blowing it all up.
Okay, let's get serious for a second. You know how I feel about the analytics stuff, right? You know how I feel about it. They're telling you after games, this is much better. We're dominating the shot clock. We're dominating the puck possession. We're dominating this number. We're dominating that number. Okay, here's the number that I know. In two games, zero goals. That's what I know. So all this analytic mumbo-jumbo goes out the window, and this is what I've been trying to tell people since all this stuff started coming to fruition this summer and everybody was trumpeting the genius of analytics. Analytics might be good when you measure certain things against one another, but it doesn't define how your team is as a team. It can't measure grit. It can't measure heart. It can't measure shot blocking. It can't measure taking a hit to make a play. And I watched that game last night. I watched that game, and I watched LA and New Jersey last night. I watched both of them after our game. And Toronto was never in that game. They were never in that game.
Jonathan Bernier said, I thought we played great. Now, I know that most goalies eventually, as we've seen, they make pretty good analysts later on because the game's in front of them. But I don't know what game Jonathan Bernier was watching.
No. Did you know that Phil Kessel played in that game last night?
I know that he can't come back, and he can't play the style that they want him to play.
That's exactly. Thank you. Did you know Tyler Bozak played in that game? I know he had no shots on goal. Did you see James Van Riemsdyk in that game? I know he had no shots on goal. So if those guys aren't going, they have no chance to win. I've told you that for a long time. And so you can go do all the analytics stuff and say we're dominating this and dominating that. Just dominate one thing. Dominate the scoreboard.
Yeah, I feel like applauding at this point. So what do they do? Do they hope to catch fire as they did not that long ago? Although it actually seems like a long time ago. Or do they start sending bodies?
I think they're going to start to evaluate bodies being moved. The problem they're going to have is how digestible is Dion Phaneuf's contract? How digestible is Phil Kessel's contract? These guys are locked in for long periods of time. Mitch Gallo could probably give you the exact numbers. I don't have them off the top of my head, but I know it's significant. I can't see them trading Tyler Bozak. Potentially maybe they look at Nazem Kadri, but I don't know. I don't know that for sure. I'd have to think that if they can move James Reimer, they probably would. But what are you going to get for
You're
that?
You're not going to get much.
We just saw Devin Dubnyk traded for a third round pick. And I talked to a guy in the NHL today who said Minnesota was so desperate that they paid the third round pick because most teams had Dubnyk valued as a fifth round pick in terms of what you were going to trade for him.
Okay, well, because you mentioned the analytics and now you mentioned the contracts, they gave Jake Gardiner the contract extension this summer because apparently the analytics say he's a great player in terms of puck possession. But to me, no player looks more lost when he doesn't have the puck than Jake Gardiner. Is that an asset you could see them moving? Or do you think they like him so much because his puck possession numbers are so good?
I would tell you this. I think most pro scouts in the league are not fooled by Jake Gardiner. So while they might have an appetite, some teams may have an appetite for him, I don't think you're going to fool a lot of teams that have elite pro scouting. I watched him in a World Junior. I know I got in a little trouble for saying I think this is an overrated player, just because I saw the inability to make decisions at key times in the neutral zone and deep in his own zone. He was a turnover machine for most of when he played, and he did the same kind of stuff when he played at Wisconsin. So, I mean, that stuff doesn't change. There's a reason why Anaheim traded what was supposed to be such a top-end prospect. There's a reason why they traded him.
I don't think they're fragile at all, and I gauge that mostly on how they present themselves to me, and then work ethic. And they're discouraged, obviously. It's not where they want to be, but they're putting in the effort and stuff like that. So I think any time you keep your nose at a grindstone, I don't think you can use the word fragile.
There is Dave Cameron, the head coach of the Ottawa Senators. The Canadians in about 2 hours will face off against the Senators coming out of Columbus. And so what direction, where are the Senators as a franchise right now?
They're trying to find an identity for themselves right now. They're not a great offensive team. They're not a great defensive team. They're a team that's really been carried by their goaltenders most of the season with Craig Anderson and Robin Leonard. I think the biggest problem there is it's a roster that's got a lot of holes in it. They've tried Kyle Turris and Mika Zibanejad as the number one centers. That's not going to work out. Now they know what a true number one center is. That's why losing Jason Spezza and trading him, basically. It really hasn't worked out for them as well as they would like. Now, the proof will be in the pudding in 2 or 3 years when you see the development of Nick Paul, one of the players that came over who played for Canada at the World Junior, also Alex Chiasson. You'll find out in the next 2 or 3 years. So you give it some time on the whole trade. But they haven't found a number one center. Eric Karlsson is basically playing by himself in the back end. Jared Callen looks a lot better since the coaching change happened, but he's still a ways away from being as dominant as he should be with his size and skating ability. They're not a hard team to play against. That's part of the problem. They're just not a hard team to play against.
So for a team suffering through an identity crisis like this for the Senators, is there any way to solve that problem in season? Like how do you project, when you don't know what you're trying to accomplish ultimately, aside from winning, but when we don't know what kind of team you're trying to build, how do you present that to the players? What do you present to the players?
Well, I think that's why when Dave Cameron comes in as a coach and, you know, he doesn't have the luxury of having a full training camp, even though he was there as an assistant, you've got to say, this is how we're going to play, and we're not going to deviate from this, and we're going to forge an identity, whether it's a speed team, whether it's a skill team, whether it's a hard team to play defensively, a hitting team. You've got to forge an identity. When I say Boston Bruins, you know what type of team you're getting. When I say Montreal Canadiens, you know what kind of team. Those teams have forged their identities. When I say New York Rangers, you know what you're getting, a fast-paced team with a lot of skill. When I say Anaheim Ducks, you know what you're getting. You're getting a team that plays with unbelievable tempo, four lines, and they'll whack you right in the mouth. So, I mean, teams have identities.
Actually, David Booth found that out last night.
Oh, boy. And that's one of their nicer guys, too, Sammy Vatanen, that did that. He's getting fined, though, which is appropriate. That, you know, that was scary watching that. I feel bad. David Booth's a tremendous young man. And I think that could be the end of his career. I know they're saying it's just a broken nose. He didn't look like he had just a broken nose last night.
So as Pierre slowly makes his way into Buffalo, we mentioned Rex Ryan's new home. He wanted to know if he could get a discount on Sabres season tickets and was told flatly no, not yet. Between Rod and Pierre, they know the city of Buffalo quite well. If you were to, how far away from the downtown core are you right now, Pierre?
Oh, I'm 3 hours away.
Oh, my goodness. So at about 8:30 tonight, yeah. Where would Rex Ryan likely be at 8:30?
There are a few places he could be. He could be at Chef's, because remember, Minnesota Wild are playing there tonight. So he could be a chef with a real fun Italian restaurant downtown where I always have my pregame meals there. I'm proud to say that there's a picture of myself and a few other hockey people up on the wall. So I like to say that because I enjoy going there. He could be, I don't know. I mean, there are a bunch of different establishments. He could be downtown. Rod probably knows there are a few places he could be.
Well, yeah, I know he went. He dropped by the Anchor Bar.
To Gabriel's Gate. Chuck Caton and I found Gabriel's Gate many moons ago, which is kind of like the Anchor Bar, but just a little bit smaller, but more fun. I think is much funner, more fun.
Ooh, and I know a lot of Bills players and coaches like the Big Tree Inn, which is in Orchard Park. It's not in Buffalo,
yeah.
But Orchard Park is quite nice as well.
There you go. I don't go to Orchard Park.
There you go. You got the rundown the next time. I hope you were taking notes.
Yes.
Your next trip to Buffalo.
Oh, and E.B. Green's for steak. Don't forget E.B. Green's. It's in the lobby of the Hyatt Hotel. That's a good spot to go to.
Safe drive, Pierre. Thank you, as always. We'll do it again tomorrow.
Power play tonight for the Canadians. Going to get at least a goal, Mitch. Maybe two.
Melnick in the Afternoon. Listen live weekdays from 3 to 7 on TSN 690.